If I mention the Ku Klux Klan, what geographical part of the country would you think of? Well, most likely the South, I would assume. But sadly, there was actually a time in the first half of the 20th century when the KKK was alive and striving to be strong in New Jersey in a variety of ways. And it's the focus of a new book my first guest is here to discuss, which focuses on the Klan's efforts in New Jersey, the people behind these efforts, and the responses and reactions that they were met with. His book is The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan in New Jersey, co-authored by Harry Ziegler, and my guest who has been recognized with many awards for his work as a historian, Joseph Bilby. Thank you for being here today, sir.
You're welcome.
And you can, of course, get The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan New Jersey on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your favorite means of getting a book. And this is certainly, Joseph, a piece of history a lot of people don't know about because, for the obvious reasons, probably a piece of history a lot of people wanted to have forgotten as quickly as possible.
That's quite true. By the time the Klan had dissipated in New Jersey, it was barely mentioned in newspapers or whatever for years afterwards.
Now, this was a time the Klan had risen and fallen already, right? And this was part of the rise from the ashes or restoration of the Klan, at least attempt at it. Is that correct?
Right. Right. The first Klan was a Southern thing. And it was an attempt to stop black people from voting and to put them, quote, in their place. And that was pretty well suppressed by President Grant. And then along in 1915 comes the movie Birth of a Nation, which gives a rather false view of Reconstruction and uses the Klan as a band of heroes that saved Southern womanhood. So you have a guy who's a sort of a middle-class ne'er-do-well, named Simmons, who sells memberships in fraternal organizations. And he decides, after seeing the movie, hey, let's bring this back. And so he does.
And part of the team that brought it back here in New Jersey, at least, was, of all things, I guess that maybe served as an asset, because performing for an audience is what you need to do to attract an audience. That certainly Arthur Bell seemed to be, well, somewhat adept at.
Yes, Bell and his wife were both vaudevillians, and throughout the history, he's been referred to sometimes as an attorney, but he only went to 2 years of high school. So he and his wife were vaudevillians, and they had a song and dance, and ventriloquism act. And he was originally assigned to be a recruiter in New Jersey. Now, this was going on all over the country. There were Klan chapters in every state. And it was like a pyramid scheme, because the money all went back to Atlanta. And basically what they were saying was, find out what disturbs people in your area and be against it. So there were no lynchings in New Jersey. They were primarily against immigrants and Catholics and Jews.
And, of course, the cross burnings were part of the tradition they did uphold.
Yes. Now, the cross burnings actually come from the novel, The Klansman, that the movie was based on. And the guy claimed that it was something taken from the Scotch Highlanders, but there's no real proof of that. But it was adopted basically from the movie.
Oh, Joseph Bilby, who, along with Harry Ziegler, are the authors of The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan in New Jersey, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. By and large, what was the stated, I mean, you sort of alluded to it already, the stated mission of the Klan versus their inner priorities? Were they one and the same? Was there a different? Was there, once you got in, you got the true story? How was that all working?
They used to wave American flags, and they claimed they were for true Americanism, separation of church and state, but by that they meant keep the Catholics out, and also for, of course, white supremacy. That was just mentioned as a, you know, that's where we are. The population in New Jersey was 95% black in 1920. And most of them were agricultural workers in the southwestern part of the state. So the perceived enemy is like the masses of immigrants who don't speak English who've come in between 1880 and 1920. And they made a lot of the people who were here apprehensive. And so that was exploited by the Klan.
Well, it certainly makes, I guess, sense, but then presents a challenge. How are you going to gain roots for your organization in places like Newark and some of the areas in Southern Jersey where you were really trying to pitch to the minority instead, and you were outnumbered by, through immigration, the minorities?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the problem. And At one point, 1923, Klansmen from Monmouth County went up to Perth Amboy and decided to have a recruiting drive. And people in Perth Amboy, probably about 70% of them were immigrants, or the children of immigrants. 5,000 people showed out. They stoned these guys. They barely made it out with their lives. And so there were several other riots as well. But the Perth Amboy one was the big one. And they should have known better.
They did have the wherewithal, at least the marketing skills, they had an interesting way to ingratiate themselves within the community. They would do things like give these, at the time at least, sizable donations to churches, for example.
Yeah, they would give, they would have stage a, it was all staged. They would come into the church and give an envelope with $50 or $75 in it to the pastor, and then they would claim that they were for Americanism, and then they would leave. And they even donated to black churches, believe it or not, because they were always trying to portray in New Jersey that they were just real Americans. And they were also playing on the 19th century fraternal organizations that, prior to there being Social Security and all that, or Medicare, these fraternal organizations sort of took care of some members of the organization. And so they pitched that as well.
That even you mentioned about how they would donate to black churches. They would also hold events like a circus when on the flyer would say everyone can come in, which one would assume that would mean
yes.
Non-whites as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had a circus. Their headquarters at one point was in Wall Township, where I live, actually. And they had a circus out there. And you could board a bus in Belmar for 50 cents, come out to the circus. And they didn't restrict it. Although they did tell the members, if you're wearing your hood, don't take it off.
Then again, if they did the restrictions, they probably couldn't get the permits they needed to do the circus.
Well, yeah, quite possibly. Although there were some people on the Wall Township government at the time who I discovered looking at property maps were involved with the Klan, comparing names.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, too. What kind of support were they getting? Was it support because there was a direct connection? Was it support because there was a level of, buying the scam that the Klan was selling?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. And then there was a tumultuous time. You had the end of World War One, which people weren't happy with. You had Prohibition. You had women's liberation and voting. There were all kinds of, and movies started to become popular entertainment, and you had jazz coming in. And this really upset a lot of people who were older American types. And, they were the ones that the Klan pitched to. And there weren't that many in New Jersey. They always lied about the numbers that came out for these demonstrations that they would have. And so if you do a little research, you find out they claimed there were 10,000 people there. There were like 2,000. Yeah, so.
But still, if you allow that 2,000 to grow and fester and sell their story, that too could become 5 faster than one would want it to be.
But they also, when doing that, they also gained the enmity of a lot of other people. They were the majority.
That's true. We're having our time with Joseph Bilby, who, along with Harry Ziegler, are the co-authors of The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan in New Jersey. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Was that reality of the small number one of the reasons why politicians could stand against this Klan? Because their message to someone who maybe wasn't really paying attention was something that they'd want to buy. And here's this politician saying, don't listen to that person because they have ulterior motives. And apparently the words of the politicians were part of what overtook the Klan before they really got too entrenched in the state.
Yes, and politicians on a local level in areas where there are a lot of Klan people, like Monmouth and Ocean County, would cater to them. Whereas the other politicians of both parties on a higher level would say, I don't want anything to do with these people, or they would condemn them even. So it was, matter of fact, the Klan guy, the Klan leader called a meeting in Newark to verify that the candidates for the Republican Party, which the Klan in New Jersey generally supported, were true Americans, and nobody showed up. So, it was a failure. And when those local politicians, once they saw the Klan was ebbing, they jumped off the bandwagon as well.
Well, as I said earlier, it's a time in history that a lot of people don't want to acknowledge or admit to, but by doing that in the here and now, Do we miss the opportunity to get the heads up, given the rise of hate groups that we see in the here and now, that maybe this time of history can teach us a bit to be a little more forewarned and aware of?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can see what happened in the course that these people took and what motivated them. Most they always exploited fear and but we'll take care of you. And so I think that it bears research to see what exactly happened, and let's not have any parallels today.
Yes, to be sure. The book again is The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan in New Jersey, co-authored by Harry Ziegler and my guest today, Joseph Bilby. Joseph, thank you so much for bringing this history back into the light, because there are lessons from it and realities that can maybe burst some myths that even today the Klan might want to try to perpetrate. Thanks for being here today.
Okay, you're welcome. Glad to be here.